The county's number one talk show, the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio.
Welcome back. Coming up very shortly, Community Garda information and much more as well. Failed policy written on a matchbox. The railway lines were built on all over Donegal. We can't even get a greenway on those former lines. I wonder who's to blame there. I think, you know, what you might see in different parts of the world is that there is a stay on what can happen often in relation to lines that are, you know, so in other words, say there was a government policy, there's normally a bit of a stay on that. So if an incoming government then said, no, actually, we need to invest back into this particular line, that you couldn't operate on them for a certain amount of time. But I think even, you know, a lot of time has passed since. So I think the expectation that they could still be there to be accessed all these years later, it would be nice, but I don't think it's going to happen. Sinn Féin are no longer a viable alternative, believes a listener. They failed to hold the government to account and they have gone silent. Hi, Greg. It's 9:10 on the four lanes and it's in gridlock again from the dry arch. Yeah, it's. I know people are growing increasingly frustrated with the traffic situation. And if you're looking to get in to work for 9:30 or even 9:00 and you're on the four lanes at that time, it's not going to happen, is it? Right, okay, there was a conversation yesterday on the show about tricolours popping up around the place. Convoy seemed to be a particular focus. A listener says, it also must be highlighted that buses of immigrants enter Ireland under the cover of Ireland. I don't know what that means, but thank you. For God's sakes, there's nothing intimidating about the flag of the country in which you're living in and being hosted in. Plenty of other flags that there's no mention about. Another, if Joe is a problem with flying the Irish flag in Ireland, then Joe is the problem. I'm sure any Irish that emigrated to America had no issue with the American flag. The hospital staff is a low IQ argument. Irish people have no issue with people that came here through the correct legal channels and actually helped the country. Now, I was travelling, so I wasn't privy to this conversation. The motivation for the erection of flags obviously is going to be the point, right? It is the national flag of this country. If you go to certain parts of America, every house has an American flag outside it, and it's treated with a great deal of respect and it's seen as a proud thing to do. We struggle here. I think this is kind of a problem of our pride in the flag and our respect for the flag and how we've used it over the years. I think that people putting flags up is seen as being a political movement, which is remarkable. And I'm not saying that conversation or that debate's not justified, but I think it's because of our relationship with celebrating our Irishness that that has now become an issue. There's no other, or very few other countries in the world, I'd imagine, where erecting your national flag would be seen as political as it is. A caller says, the Irish that went abroad were not given handouts. The majority of people that come here from other countries come here on work visas, by the way. The CSO stats will point to the fact. Now, I know you will argue and say, yeah, but in my area, there's an awful lot of people, this, that, and don, right? But the majority of people coming into Ireland now are coming here legally. A caller says, I'm a Polish national and I don't feel intimidated by Irish flags at all. In fact, it's lovely to see the Irish flags up everywhere. So that's someone who's a non-Irish national. We are full. We can't look after ourselves. What are the amount of pride flags that go up? When people say they don't agree with that, they are not listened to. And just a mix of different comments here as we head towards the break. Hi, Highland. Could you find out why is the Garda not doing anything about the amount of cars on the roads with tinted number plates? Some are so dark you can't see the numbers. Well, they do a level of enforcement in relation to that. The majority of homes, multi-car homes, will have one where the number plates aren't necessarily legal. You know, there's a lot of number plate changing goes on before and after NCTs. It'd almost be a full-time job cracking down on that. Let me see. What about Conor McGregor's bid for the presidency? Are we going to address that fiasco? And that was put to Councillor Paul Canning, and I did put that to him. We live in the top of Lismonahan. Last night, this is Sunday night now, at 10:30 p.m, there were 45 eggs thrown against the front door of our house window. By the time we investigated, there was nobody about. I'm wondering, did anyone else experience this? So this is a family that were hammered with eggs around about 10:30 p.m. on Sunday night in the Lismonahan area. it's very possible those behind it don't understand how annoying it is, how messy it is, and how intimidating it is. I don't like it at all. But anyone else in and around that area, or anywhere else for that matter, found their homes pelted with eggs. That was on Sunday night. Right, now, a caller says, convoy was already mixed before refugees came in. It was a mix of Catholics and Protestants. I disagree with people coming into convoy who don't live here, coming in during the night to put up these flags. The people who have moved here support the local community. Our nursing home would not be supported without people who are from different countries. But I suppose it goes down to the people themselves. We heard from one Polish person, and maybe there are other people that live in this country now that find the flag intimidating. I can't imagine if I went to Spain and everywhere I turned there were Spanish flags that it would feel directed at me or I would feel unwanted. But then again, I suppose if I was privy to a national conversation where some are their motivation is different for erecting the flag, would I feel different? I don't think so. I really genuinely don't think so. I'm not saying I'm for or against it because I'm not offended, right? So that doesn't mean it's okay. You know, I want to hear from other people and the reasons as to why they might feel threatened or intimidated by it. There's lots of people that have moved here and have learned Irish and are probably very proud to be Irish, especially after they get their citizenship. Maybe they love to see the flags as well. I don't know. Help me understand more. 086 60 25,000. I wonder what the Protestant community will make of the tricolour being erected in convoy. Again, just because you're from the Protestant community, it doesn't necessarily mean you're going to be offended by the tricolour. I mean, you are represented on that flag, aren't you? I worry that it will be taken the wrong way by people who travel in from over the border and could stir up past bad blood. Yeah, that's true. But, you know, if I travel, I travelled to Belfast yesterday and Union Jacks everywhere. I don't think even the Union Jack represents Northern Ireland, if I'm not mistaken. But there's Union Jacks and flags flying everywhere up there. So I don't know. They've been doing that for years. Okay, let's take a break. Loads more coming up on the programme. Make sure to keep your views coming into us as well too. You know the numbers. Okie doke, it is Tuesday the 9th of September and 18 minutes past 10. It's time for this week's Community Garda information, and in studio with me is Garda Grainne Doherty from the Letterkenny Garda Station. Grainne, good morning to you. Thanks so much as always for calling up. Rightio, let's start with appeals and criminal damage in Raphoe, Grainne.
Yeah, Gardaí are appealing for information in connection with this. It's an incident of criminal damage. It happened at William Street, Raphoe in the early hours of Sunday the 7th of September. It's believed to have occurred in around 1 a.m. that morning. A window at the front of a vacant premises at that location was smashed. So we're appealing to anybody who might have witnessed the incident to get in touch with Gardaí in Letterkenny on 91671100. If anybody was in the area of William Street with a dash cam around that time, we're asking them to make the footage available to us. And I'm aware that the Oakfest was on over the course of those few days, so hopefully maybe even taxi drivers that may have been in the area with a dash cam, if they were, we'd ask them to come forward.
Yeah, another criminal damage incident a little earlier, this in Whitecross.
Yes, this incident occurred between 9 p.m. on Friday the 5th of September and 7 a.m. on Saturday the 6th of September in the area of Whitecross, Raphoe. A VMS sign, a variable message sign, that was at that location. It was there advertising a local event. It was sprayed with paint and a quantity of paint was thrown over it also. We're appealing to anybody who may have travelled at that location, the Lifford to Letterkenny Road, between those hours, and who may have witnessed this incident, to make contact with Gardaí in Letterkenny on 91 67 100. And again, as with all of our incidents today, the Garda confidential line can be reached on 1800 666 111.
And just I know we do it regularly, just a reminder, if someone wants to use the confidential line, you don't have to necessarily leave your name or anything, you just leave your tip. And then it's chased up. It's sent to the relevant Gardaí in the relevant areas.
Yes, when you call that number, you're automatically put through, similar to a voice messaging service. Yeah. You're put through, it's to a machine, really. You're not even talking to a human being. You just leave whichever information you want. You don't have to leave your name or any personal details on there.
Okay, so that might be useful for some. Criminal damage, again, this time in St Johnston.
Yes, this incident happened on the Derry Road in St Johnston on Wednesday the 3rd of September in and around 4:50 p.m. So a man was at that location in his van, and a black Audi A4 pulled in behind him. Two male occupants off the Audi got out. They approached his van and one of them proceeded to strike the driver's side mirror of his van, causing it to smash. So we're appealing to anybody who might have travelled in that area with a dash cam between 4:30pm and 5pm to make that footage available to us. Again, if anybody witnessed the incident, we'd like to speak to them, and they can contact Gardaí in Letterkenny on 9167100.
Okay, to Ballybuffet now.
Yes, another incident of criminal damage. This occurred at a shop at the main street, Ballybuffet, between 9pm on Saturday the 6th of September and 12:30pm on Sunday the 7th. The front window of a shop was broken between those times, so we're appealing to anybody who may have been on the street, maybe particularly in the early hours of Sunday morning, who might have witnessed the incident, to contact Gardaí in Ballyshannon on 071 985 8530. If anybody again was on the street with a dash cam overnight and they believe that they might have captured anything of use to our investigation, we're asking them to contact us also.
All right, now we're going to theft next. Drumkeen.
Yes, a rather unusual one here. This theft incident occurred in the area of Trentaboy, Drumkeen, between 7pm on Friday the 5th of September and 2pm on Saturday the 6th of September. So a concrete garden table and three concrete benches were stolen from a garden at a house at that location between those times. We're appealing to anybody who might have observed any type of suspicious activity or vehicles in that area around those times to get in touch with Gardaí in Ballyshannon on 071 985 8530.
Yeah, I mean, quite distinctive and potentially difficult to move.
Yeah, and hopefully somebody seen something. You know, you would have had to have a van or a trailer or something with you to transport these items. And besides that, it would have taken quite a bit of time, really, to get them loaded up, you know, and get them taken away.
Yeah, and keep your eyes out, too, if you ever see them items that we discussed popping up, being advertised in any place or other. I'm not saying that's the motivation, but you never know. It might twig if you saw it when you're scanning, and that would be good information to pass on as well, because the Gardaí can find out whether or not it's a similar object or the object themselves. Right, this is news of an incident in Pettigo that serves also to as a bit of advice, I suppose, for people in general, particularly those in the farming community.
Yeah, so we wish to alert the public, and particularly the farming community, to an incident that occurred recently in the area of Pettigo. So a Jeep that was parked up at a farmland in the area of Grouse Hall, Pettigo, on Saturday the 6th of September. A trailer was attached with a calf on board the trailer. And between 1:45pm and 2pm on that date, the Jeep, which was a blue Toyota Hilux, it was stolen. The trailer containing the calf, it was abandoned a short distance down the road just over the border. And the stolen Jeep was recovered also the following day in Northern Ireland. So we're appealing to anybody who may have travelled in the Grouse Hall or general Pettigo area on the 6th of September between 1pm and 2:30pm with a dash cam to make that footage available to investigating Gardaí. If anybody can assist with this with relevant information, we're asking them to contact Gardaí in Ballyshannon on 071 985 8530. And just in relation to this incident, and we say it often on the show here, we're not in the business of finger pointing at victims or blaming anybody, you know, proportioning any blame on them. But, you know, we feel it's important just to make people aware that these types of incidents are taking place. You know, the days of being able to leave your house door unlocked or your car or your Jeep or your truck, whatever it is, unlocked, those days are well and truly gone. Please ensure that your vehicle is locked when unattended, regardless of whether you have it parked at your back door, on your farm, in a field or in a car park in a public area. Lock it. Make sure it's locked when unattended. Never leave your keys in your vehicle. Don't make life easy for these opportunist thieves, and always report suspicious activity to Gardaí immediately. And just if anybody does wish to discuss farm or any type of security measures around their home or around their business, they can contact Sergeant Fergus McGrory, our Divisional Crime Prevention Officer, and he'll be happy to assist.
Yeah, and as you say, we hear about these instances all of the time, and it could be me, and I've said this before, because I can be a bit laxy-daisy, but you only do it for the last time after you lose something then, don't you? And that's the whole point of what you're saying, is just for all of us, try and ensure that you don't learn the lesson the hard way and then end up doing what we're talking about and making sure everything's locked and secure. It's good advice, I think. Right, a two-vehicle collision is the subject of the next appeal.
Yes, this is a bit of a reappeal now. This one, it happened a while back. It happened on Saturday the 26th of July on the R244 in the area of Art Glenealy, shortly after 3:30pm. So both vehicles involved were travelling from Glenealy towards Carndonagh when this collision occurred. The driver of one of those vehicles was taken to Letterkenny University Hospital to receive medical treatment, but no life-threatening injuries were sustained. We believe, we carried out inquiries since, and we now believe that there may have been a number of witnesses there at the scene, including a few motorcyclists who we have yet to speak to. So we're asking them or anybody that witnessed this incident to contact Gardaí and Buncrana on 932-0540.
Yeah, okay. Now, we've got that reappeal. Garda scam. This is a scam and it's abusing, really, I suppose, the seriousness of a Garda contact.
Yeah, and we did see scams in the past, Garda-related scams, where these criminals were impersonating Gardaí and sending out threatening emails, you know, linked to that you've been a suspect in a sexual sort of crime or pornography or things like that. So this is actually quite a new one that came to light recently. So we've been made aware of this scam. So a person received a call from an Irish mobile number. The caller claimed to be a member of an Garda Síochána attached to the Garda Financial Intelligence Unit. The recipient of the call was informed that her bank account had been used in connection with a number of fraud offences across Europe. So over the course of a number of hours, the caller deceived the victim into setting up a crypto wallet. She transferred, unfortunately, a substantial amount of money from her account to this wallet. She then became suspicious and contacted us in Garda Síochána. So in this instance, criminals are impersonating a Garda Síochána in an attempt to steal money or personal information. Scammers typically contact victims by phone or email, falsely claiming to investigate a crime with a warrant for their arrest, or to inform them that their details have been linked to criminal activity, demanding payment or sensitive data like bank account details or PPS numbers. And as always, they create a sense of urgency, you know, and panic in the person. We would just like to advise the public, and Garda Síochána will never contact you by phone, email or text to allege that you have committed a crime or to demand immediate payment for fines. Please never respond, don't click links, provide information or make payments if you receive this type of call or email. And if you have fallen victim to this or any type of scam, please alert your financial institution immediately and also report the matter to us. I actually received a call in Letterkenny Station yesterday evening from another lady who received this type of call yesterday. She's living in the local area here and the call lasted 40 minutes. Now, luckily, she didn't provide any type of personal information or banking details.
But they're prepared to invest time, aren't
they? But they did. She said that they persisted and they were quite threatening in their manner, you know, and warned her not to hang up the phone and that they would track her down, you know, and she was quite afraid. She was, you know, she rang the station in a bit of a state, worried about it. But just
I wouldn't, if that happened to me, and we do a lot of this stuff, Grania, I would come off the call and I'd want to double check it wasn't real.
Yeah, well, that's exactly what happened.
Who does this all, you know, that. You would think that I should have the knowledge and confidence to go, no, this is clearly a scam, but that would concern me and I would want to try and find out ASAP if it was true or false. And that's why they're keeping that sense of urgency and keeping you on the phone to try and get you to, you know, divulge some personal information or transfer money. And it's clever and it's horrible and we just have to be aware and to let other people know who maybe don't listen to this item about that as well, if you're visiting relatives or what have you, just to say, listen, there's this latest scam that's going about.
Yeah, well, look, if anybody does receive a call like this or an email purporting to be from an Garda Síochána, don't respond, hang up the call, contact, like the lady did yesterday, you know, call your local Garda station and clarify with them.
Right, now, an awareness event coming up. Talk
yes.
to me about this.
This is a senior service awareness event. These take place regularly enough down at Cara House in Letterkenny, and there's another one taking place on Monday the 15th of September. So Gardaí from the local community policing unit and Sergeant Fergus McGrory, her divisional crime prevention officer, will be there to issue advice on the day. And these types of events provide a fantastic opportunity for senior citizens just to find out more about the local services that are available to them in their area. And it's always a great day's crack. And we enjoy meeting all of our local senior citizens for a cuppa and a good chat. So everybody's very welcome to call in and we look forward to seeing them on the day.
Brilliant stuff. And there is... World Suicide Prevention Day coming up soon.
Yes, that's tomorrow actually, yeah. World Suicide Prevention Day takes place tomorrow, the 10th of September. So the theme this year is changing the narrative on suicide, and this theme calls on people, communities, organisations and government to foster open and honest conversations about suicide. So by initiating these vital conversations, we can break down barriers, raise awareness and create better cultures of understanding and support. And I think it's a good idea, even within workplaces, you know, it's something that really isn't done often enough, you know, to talk about this topic. So please visit hse.ie for information in relation to upcoming events. They have a number of events coming up to mark World Suicide Prevention Day in Donegal, and to read about also key messages and details of training that is available. And we're going to share all of the above and details of local support services that are available to our Facebook page later today. And I'm aware also, separate from the HSE events, Letterkenny CDP are holding an event at the Courtyard Shopping Centre tomorrow, September 10th, between 1 and 3pm to mark the day. And a panel discussion will take place, and a memorial ceremony will also take place for loved ones lost to suicide. And just also finally on that topic, I'd like to say that anybody who is in distress and in need of assistance, they're very welcome at any time to call to any of our Garda stations. We'll happily provide a listening ear, make them a cup of tea, and we'll try our best to hear them out and to point them in the direction of, you know, a support service that can help them.
Okay, brilliant stuff. And the role, the Gardaí play a significant role in dealing with people in that situation, and it's not always talked about, but I know you and your colleagues are very active and very, you know, proactive in trying to help people. A quick question from last week, if that's okay. It reads as follows, Grania. Hi, Greg, could you ask today, I got a parking ticket, but the wrong address of where the offence happened is on the ticket. I appealed online, but no good. They never even asked my grounds for appealing, and it's an email with the no reply. They contacted me on thanks. So I don't know what they tried to do.
Yeah, well,
but anyway,
I'm going to presume just that it was a Garda issued ticket, because okay. it's possible that it may not have been issued by an Garda Síochána, but just in this instant we'll presume that it was. Yeah. So in order to dispute a Garda ticket, which is a fixed charge penalty notice, you must submit a fixed charge notice cancellation request form. And reading that, I presume that that's what they have done online. You go to garda.ie, that's where you find this form. Or you can contact the fixed charge processing office by phone on 0818 50 60 80, or you can email them at npo@garda.ie. So the form and guidance notes are available on the garda.ie website. And just be mindful as well, when you wish to contest the speed limit, location, date or time of the offence or incorrect registration number, be advised that a minor discrepancy may not invalidate the notice. And be aware also that the payment deadlines for the fixed charge are not suspended while your request is being processed. That's an important one to keep in mind. Maybe for this caller, I see they said that they have appealed online and perhaps they have filled out this cancellation request form. So maybe the best thing for them to do would be to contact that phone number to follow up on the form that
what
they submitted.
0818 50 60 80. All right, listen, Grania, thank you very much indeed. It's been good to have you up again. And if you missed any of that or you want to listen back, maybe one of the dates or times or locations has triggered something in your mind, but you have to get home before you can check it out. You don't have to remember it all, of course. We'll have elements of that on our Highland Radio News website, of course, but also you can watch and listen back to the whole lot. Listen back on the podcast from 12:30 today on our website, watch back on our socials, and also watch back a little later on today on the On Garda Síochána Facebook page as well, the Donegal Garda Síochána and Donegal Facebook page as well. So that's it for now. We'll be back with another item, a Community Garda information item, next Tuesday after the 10 o'clock news. Now, very pleased to welcome into studio the Right Reverend Dr. Trevor Gribben, who's a Presbyterian moderator. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy agenda to pop up for a chat. How are you keeping?
I'm doing really well, Greg. I'm just up in the Northwest for a week. I started on Sunday, and I'm visiting our presbytery, which we call Derry-Inisterban, which straddles a border, Derry-Donegal straddles a border and includes the whole of the county Donegal. So great to be at Highland Radio, which I know is a bit of an institution here in this county.
Just a bit.
Just a bit.
Presbytery moderator, what is your role within the church?
Well, the Presbyterian Church is about 500 congregations across the island. We're an all-Ireland church, both north and south. And the moderator is a bit like the senior sort of figurehead leader of the church for a year. No moderator is allowed to get too proud. We only let the person do the job for a year. You start in June, you do it the next June. Most people come from a parish church to be moderator. I happen to be a general secretary of the church working our central leadership team. So I'm doing that for a year. I chaired our general assembly, our big decision-making meeting. And then I spend the year visiting Presbyterian congregations and communities across this island. I was also overseas in Malawi, visiting the Presbyterian Church there. And we visit, we've 19 presbyteries, and we visit four a year. So Derry and Donegal is my first visit. I'm a wee bit coming back home.
I could hear that.
Yeah, okay. well, I'm a County Armagh man originally, but I had 7 years of my ministry was in Lake Patrick in Ardygarvan, just outside Strabane, and would have been very familiar with our churches in Inishowen in those days, Mavill, Greenbank, Crandona, Mallon, and all around Rafoe. And that bit of Donegal I knew quite well. So it's been lovely to come back home and staying up for the week and seeing some of the beautiful countryside. And the sun hasn't stopped shining since it
came. No, it's been wonderful. Yeah. How would you frame the condition status? I don't know what the correct terminology is, but where the Presbyterian Church sits now, sort of in terms of its size, its strength, its level of involvement with its parishioners, you know, the demographic. Are we seeing young people coming to church, or, you know, how would you frame it?
Well, across the whole island, it's fair to say probably the numbers in Presbyterian churches, like every other church, are lower than they used to be, but we're still strong, vibrant congregations. Yeah. In this area, particularly in Donegal, our congregations are part of local communities. They've been there for centuries. Most people, when they drive past, will see the buildings. They mightn't have been inside them, but those communities are there. Some of them are rural farming communities. Some, like here in Letterkenny, has known some growth. It's reaching out to new Irish, to use that phrase. And some of our congregations, both north and south of the border, have been enriched by people coming to live in amongst us and coming part of our church families. But churches are a bit smaller. But their influence is still there. I'm visiting some of the churches in County Donegal this week, and I've been interested just to hear already about the community initiatives, the children's work that's going on, congregations seeking to reach out and show the love of Jesus in practical ways as well as declare his word.
How do churches, will generally sort of reach and engage younger people? Because there might come a time where there's a very, very major crisis. Who's to say? And all the churches will be packed because, if we're instantly faced with a catastrophe or our own mortality or something, the churches is often one of the first places we go to. But outside of that, how do we, engage more young people in a life of faith?
Well, look, to be really frank, some of our churches, and this is probably all denominations.
Yeah, well, it was an all denomination question.
Well, we do need to change a bit with the times. Mm. Sometimes our services in Presbyterianism, we're great hymn singing and psalm singing people, but sometimes we're singing hymns and psalms that are written 200-300 years ago.
Yeah.
To tunes that are written 100 years ago. Now they're not bad because of that. So many of our congregations are bringing in newer worship styles. We used to have organs a lot. We still have organs in some of our churches, but in some of our churches, particularly some of our town and city churches, we've now music groups playing.
Yeah, but change and adaptation has been happening for centuries. It's not something that's happening instantly right now in some sort of a panic mode. Not all, but there's been quite a lot of evolution and change and tweaking throughout many centuries, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I mean, some obviously are more loyal maybe to the original history, but you have to adapt, don't you?
Yeah, you really have to adapt. There is an unchangeable message of the gospel.
Of course.
Of what Jesus Christ has come to do for us and the love he reaches out to us and the salvation that's possible through faith in him. But that's communicated in all different ways. Like, loads of the young people I meet with who are involved in our churches, their Bible's on their phones now. And their Bible reading apps are bringing up a passage to read each day to help them in their own individual quiet time. I preach myself now, although I'm no longer young, but I use PowerPoint in my church services. I use video. I was preaching in one of our churches in Donnamanna in County Tyrone on Sunday morning. I'm in Donoghmore next Sunday morning. And I will use visual aids. I'll use all kinds of things to try to communicate to the new generation.
Because you want to be fully inclusive. But, if you have a core that's very traditional, you don't want to sort of make them feel not unwelcome, but, you know, less relevant. So it's a tough balancing act.
Yeah, and that's a challenge. But look, when people genuinely love the Lord Jesus and they genuinely want to be part of a community sharing faith, you know, people will, like, I see churches now which have changed their style in worship. And the older people are simply delighted to see more children, young people coming. You know, so there's a cost to everything. Yeah. And look, life isn't about accommodating each other? Mm-hmm. And that's true in the church as well.
It's also a wonderful opportunity for you, I'm sure, to meet with and thank and praise those that, you know, keep the infrastructure going. You know, our beautiful buildings that are kept to a T, the people that are in opening or closing or maintaining and the grounds of the churches and what have you. You know, the real grafters, so to speak. It's nice in your position of Presbyterian moderator to come up and look these people in their eye and shake their hands and praise them for the incredibly important work they're doing.
And I want to do that. I just want to encourage people. Every moderator gets to pick a theme for the year, and mine's based on one of the Old Testament prophets, Jeremiah chapter 29. And he tells this to God's people. He says, look, settle down, build houses, get into the community, get involved, work for, he says, for the peace and the good of the city or the community you're placed in. And I want to say this to loads of our people across Ireland, but across Donegal, particularly this week. I want to say thank you for working for the good, not just of your congregation, but the community you're in. Thank you for those parent and toddler groups, those meals for pensioners. Thank you for that children's work you're providing. It's open to all people to come. Mm-hmm. Thank you for being part of the community in the name of Jesus Christ and doing that. Thank you for the hard work. But I want to say more than that. I want to say to people in civic society, thank you for what you're doing. So yesterday, I visited Milton McGilvin Hospital and I visited the McGee Campus of University. Amazing to see the new cancer unit at Milton McGilvin, which is also serving Donegal. Amazing, wonderful to see that cross-border work and that cross-community work in that sense. I'm going to be in Letterkenny later. I'm going to be visiting schools, national schools in Donoghmore and Convoy. I'm going to Ruffo and Prior. I'm going to visit, hopefully, the police in Letterkenny. I want to say thank you for what you're doing. Because, look, when we all work together in partnership to make our communities a better place, it helps all of us. Doesn't mean there are no problems. I was listening to your Garda report just before I came in. There are problems in every community. But I want to say thank you for those who are making a difference in the church and in the community.
Yeah, you talked about increased cross-border cooperation in terms of health and what have you. And of course, even the councils now continuing to build and strong relationships that benefit both areas. Presbyterian Church has been doing this up here for ages. Is it almost unique, the cross-border sort of element to the church here?
Well,
in terms of the area straggling the border, so
well,
to speak.
Yeah. Well, we are an all-Ireland church.
Of course,
Our Monaghan Presbytery as well has churches in the north. Our Newry Presbytery, which is a northern presbytery, has some churches in Monaghan as well. But yes, Derry and Donegal Presbytery is quite unique, that half our churches are in Donegal and half are around Derry, Londonderry area and down to Strabane. And that poses challenges. You know, there are two different currencies, there are two different tax regimes, there's different charity. One's a charity regulatory authority in Dublin, one's a charity commission based in Belfast in Northern Ireland. That presents challenges, but those are creative challenges. And one of the great things is in this community, way back when I was up here, I left this area 30 years ago, that cooperation between Presbyterian congregations north and south, I'm not saying anything political here, but it blurs a border. You know, if you're sick and your nearest hospital is out in the Galvin and you need to go there, you need to go there.
100%,
you know, if you're living somewhere in the north and you want to go to, I'll not name any particular shops, but the great shops in Ballybuffet and do some shopping, you will go and they'll provide a service for your community. And in this area, thank God, literally, thank God, those dark days.
Well, the closer you get to the border, and particularly post-Troubles, the closer you get to the border, the more invisible it becomes.
It is.
If the truth be told. Yeah. Is there, probably should ask this at the beginning, because I don't want it to be negative, and maybe the answer isn't negative, but the Presbyterian congregation, where do they feel in society? Visible, part of it, somewhat forgotten, underrepresented, perfect level of representation?
Look, if you take that across the state, I think it differs. Mm. When partition came, I think there were a lot of folk in Donegal from a Protestant background who felt, in a sense, left behind.
Landlocked or something.
When they weren't part of this new northern state. And that was probably the same round Monaghan-Cavan direction. Mm, mm. I think that sense has gone.
Good, yeah.
The vast majority of people I meet in Monaghan-Cavan, in Donegal, are Irish. They're Presbyterians, and they're still very proud of that, Presbyterians. They maybe have links back to a unionist, the background. They're maybe in the Orange Order still, which has a symbolism in some of the border counties, north and south. But I think they have integrated into the society.
It's the conversation now is no longer Protestant, Catholic, or green and gold, because the country is a much more diverse country. In political terms, the Alliance Party growing in popularity. You know what I mean? It's the country that it was then and the country it is now. There's far more players on the pitch, if you know what I mean. So maybe that's helped in...
Yeah,
in
and look, one of the things churches have to do, and all churches have to do this, is we have to say very clearly, our first loyalty is not to any nation or flag, it is to Jesus Christ and his kingdom. And therefore, there are kingdom values. And sometimes we have to say in all our communities, because we have kingdom values and we follow Christ's teaching, no, that is wrong. Mm. There was never any justification for murder and violence for any cause, for Irishness or Britishness. There never was. That was wrong. There are ways of finding accommodations and moving forward together. I met last week, along with other church leaders, with the Taoiseach, and we hope to meet him again to talk about a Shared Island Initiative. Now, you could say that maybe as a political dimension, maybe as an All-Ireland unity dimension. It also has lots of good dimensions. We are in one island, and we have to share this island. Reconciliation is not just a fancy word that ministers and politicians use. It is reality.
Yeah.
It is working together. And we've challenged this island today in reconciliation and peacemaking with new Irish people coming amongst us. North and south of the border, we have, sadly, rising racism. People used to talk in the north of sectarianism. Sadly, racism is coming to the fore.
Are you very comfortable calling it that? Is it not nationalism? Is it not, and this is, I'm not challenging you for a second, but is it not nationalism? Is it not the protection of culture and services, as some might frame it? Or is it, because there'll be quite a pushback to you using that word.
Yeah, and I know sometimes there is. It is interesting. And I live and work in Northern Ireland. I live in Carrickfergusson. My office is in Belfast. So I tend to be northern focused, although I'm a moderator for an All-Ireland church. Sometimes in Northern Ireland, and I know in Dublin as well, when people come in from other communities, and when white South Africans come in their droves at sometimes in bits of Dublin and bits of Northern Ireland, it didn't create the tension that when people of a different colour come in. And that is sad. And I've met, we met in Dublin, that meeting with the Taoiseach. There were representatives of other faiths there. There were Christians who were from African churches. There were people from an Islamic background who were coloured in skins. And they are feeling shunned because of the colour of their skin. That is racism, pure and simple. Now, that does not mean that everyone who is protesting or everyone who feels that their hospital places are being taken up by other people or their social housing isn't available to them or there's no spaces in their schools and their community, that does not mean those people are racist. Many of those people have legitimate concerns. North and south of the border, the governments haven't built enough social housing. Our health services north and south of the border are not as they should be. But we cannot blame that on new people coming in amongst us. Some of those people are fleeing literally for their lives. We have churches north and south of the border who have new Irish coming into them. We have people who are coming into our churches from Iran who've had to leave because they've converted to Christianity and they would have been killed if they'd stayed. And they're serving our churches. Once they get right to remain, they're working, they're paying taxes, they're fully part of community. If those people feel unwelcome and they're discriminated against because of the colour of their skin, that is racism. But there is also legitimate protest and we can't label that racist.
Yes, I get you. You're going to need a holiday after this because you've an awful lot of meetings. Some of them have already taken place, others haven't. Meeting with leaders of other churches. You mentioned An Garda Síochána, the police, schools, of course, too. We really appreciate you sparing the time to come in and have a little chat with us.
Yeah, can I say one thing before I go? Maybe you're not finishing, but I want to say one thing. I want to say thank you to Highland Radio, not just because I'm sitting in Highland Radio, because I know in Donegal from friends who work here, people I know who live here, just how significant Highland Radio is and your community focus. And I also want to thank you and thank him publicly today for 25 years for the Reverend Jim Lamont, who's been part of your airwaves. I remember, Jim, when I was a young student for the ministry, Jim was in charge of the body that selected people for the ministry. And I remember a talk he did in our college at that selection school of reaching out and looking at the community around you and seeking to serve it. Jim, in retirement, has done that. And for 25 years, he's been on the airway in his Travelling with God program on your airwaves. And I want to say today, publicly, thank you, Jim, but also want to say thank you, Highland Radio, for including that programme, which I know is listened to, and Jim is, look, if Protestants had a saint, Jim would be made a saint because he is a great listener. So thank you as a radio station for doing that, and I hope that slot in some way will continue, and I hope colleagues will be talking to you about how it might continue.
Look, we're of the community, and the community is all different people.
Yeah, the community is also about people stepping up and being willing to do things. And I'll not reveal Jim's age because maybe we'll meet him sometime and I don't want to get into trouble with him. But Jim, well into his retirement, has done that programme because it's been a service. I know the books he's published have been used to help the hospice. He has just had a heart for that. And when I'm on your station today, I just want to say thank you, Jim. But thank you also to your station for doing that.
It's a great listen, though.
Yeah.
It shows a great listen, which is always very, very good from a radio perspective. Yeah. Thank you so very much, Reverend, for calling in to us. You've got, so June, July, August, September, you've still got an awful lot of work to do in your tenure as Presbyterian moderator. Is it a one and done, or could you do this again down the line?
No, you do it once.
So it's very, very significant, a great honour.
It's a big year, yep. They give me an honorary doctorate. I'm a doctor, but if you're sick, don't come to me. I'll be of no help to you. And I got it not because in any way I studied and wrote any thesis, but university gave me an honorary doctorate to acknowledge that year. And it's a great honour and a great opportunity to be out and about, say thank you to people, and thank you to communities, and to share the love of Jesus.
And I'm sure on behalf of the Presbyterian community, but all the community as well, we're all under the one sky, aren't we? Thank you, Right Reverend Dr. Trevor Gribben, the Presbyterian moderator. Been lovely having you on.
Thank you.